Good morning.
Morning.
When the list came out of the different chapters in the book, and I was asked, which one do you want? We were all asked at the same time. I jumped at the opportunity to talk about this one. I'll share with you in a few moments why. But faith looking forward. And it's funny, on Thursday, I almost laughed out loud when I looked at my phone and saw the newsletter this week, and it had the men's breakfast advertised, faith looking forward, and right underneath that was the Young at Heart announcement for ages 60 and up. And I thought, wow, there isn't much looking forward anymore for me. I am almost in that age group. Wow, that's crazy. How did this happen? I know some of you are in that age group. Yep. So, do you remember when we used to share testimonies at men's breakfast a long time ago and we kind of changed it to teaching? Indulge me today. This is going to be a teaching, but I'm also going to share several testimonies throughout because I did choose this one for a reason, because I've seen now at age 57 how the Lord has made my path despite me. And it's really a celebration for what He has done in my life. And I'm sure that each one of you have stories about how you can look back as to how the Lord did something for you or blessed a decision that you made even though you weren't sure how it was going to turn out. It is really interesting living on this side of the hill. Many of the things that used to be in my future have happened, right? Life has not slowed down. For a while there, we were cruising along. We had two kids, the four of us, you know, like for 16 years, we're just living our lives. Kids are growing up, they're going to school, nothing really changed. But listen to my last 10 years, okay? Here we go. My daughter Alyssa leaves home for college. My wife goes back to work. My son Adam leaves home for college. My mom dies, so now both my parents are gone, and I'm suddenly the oldest one in my family. I go from assistant principal to principal at Solon Middle School. Alyssa graduates from college and gets a teaching job. Alyssa gets married. Adam graduates from college, gets a job in South Carolina, but quits after 3 days because it's a crooked operation. He moves to Ohio, moves in with us, and gets a job. My father-in-law dies. I retire, but I keep working in Solon. My granddaughter, Selah, is born. Bobbitt and I move so my mother-in-law can move in with us. I change jobs after 31 years in one place. My second granddaughter, Kaya, is born. Adam gets engaged, making four new people in our family in the last 5 years, plus Gwen. Woo! Yeah, right. That's just the last 10 years, from age 47 to 57. I look out over this group right here, and I know that many of you have gone through life-changing things too. Some of them way more serious than what I just shared with you. And it's amazing how God has made this path for me. And I was wondering, what was I doing at age 47 to prepare myself for this, right? What was going on in my life? Was I prepared for all of these changes? In fact, if you look up like the top 10 most stressful things that can happen in your life, you know those lists? There's some of those 15 things in there. Like, I'm supposed to be really stressed out now, right? Like, oh my gosh, all these things happen. But I want to go back a little bit more than that. How about when I was 24 years old? That seems like a long time ago now. Bobbitt and I made probably the biggest decision of our lives when we decided to move to Cleveland from Iowa. We moved here for her job as a music therapist. I went from rural Iowa to Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Do you know the culture difference between those two places? Growing up on a farm to now living in an apartment in Cleveland Heights. It was, what? Like, when we first had her offered the job, we said, where's Cleveland again? Like, we knew it was Ohio, but how far away from Iowa is it? Like, what part of Ohio? Oh, it's on Lake Erie. Okay, got it. Like, we really had not much of a clue when we moved out here. But my parents were like, you're moving for your wife's job and you don't have one? Oh my goodness. That was like, to a farming family, that was really crazy at age 24. We leave our families. We moved 10 hours away where we knew nobody. We had no idea what was ahead of us. No idea. And again, we were both 24. Like, to me, that seems like really young again to make that kind of a decision. I'm kind of like scared for myself, you know. just thinking about that right now. I mention this history of us moving to Cleveland not because there's this big spiritual thing behind it, but because to me there are some interesting similarities to Abraham's journey of leaving home and living as a foreigner to my story. And we all know that there's a lot of worry out there about the future, right? Young folks are worried about things like, what's my life going to be like? Old people were like, what's going to happen to me here in the future? We all want to know the will of God, and many times that means we want to know how our decisions are going to turn out, right? We don't look at the will of God as his precepts and what he tells us to do in his word. We just want to know the future. What should I do, right? What's the decision I should make here? Well, Abraham is one of those people in the Bible who had quite a future ahead of him, right? And he had no clue. He had no clue. He's a really significant figure in the Bible. He is referred to as the father of all who believe in Romans chapter 4. He was the first person in the Bible to be specifically commended for his faith in Genesis 15:6, where it says, "And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." Hebrews chapter 11 mentions that what Abraham did by faith several times, that phrase, by faith Abraham obeyed, is in that section of Hebrews quite a bit. And we'll take a look at just a couple today. So let's look at that, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It's on your outline there, or you can open your Bibles, but this is going to be the basis for today's study. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Let's just stop right there. That's a simple statement, right? By faith, Abraham obeyed. And if you unpack that, to me, that kind of means probably Abraham really didn't know why he was obeying. He probably really didn't have it in his plans to obey. In his spirit, he probably didn't want to obey. But by faith, he obeyed. By faith, because of what God said to do. So by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Have you ever made a decision by faith, convinced it's what you should do based on God's word, but you didn't know how it would turn out? We can probably all look back at our lives and think of a time. You might be facing that right now. That's exactly how we felt about our move to Cleveland. How will this turn out? And Hebrews chapter 11 starts off with a definition for faith. Verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So in light of that definition, let's ponder some of these statements in Hebrews 11 about by faith Abraham. Okay, so the first point, faith obeying God's call. Faith and obedience go together in that statement. Faith obeying God's call. Abraham was told to go in Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." That seems crazy, right? "Abram, take off and I'll let you know where you're going eventually," right? Okay, great. Sounds like a great plan. Abram must have been a great man, right, to just be obedient like that. Well, not really. Joshua 24 says that he was a pagan idol worshiper. Okay? But God grabbed a hold of him, and this was an important beginning in God's redemptive work. Think about the figure Abraham in the Bible and how important he is to our faith. And isn't that us too? Didn't God grab us from a life of sin and create in us a new heart? We really didn't want to have a part of that, right? We love our sin. But God grabbed a hold of us and pulled us from that if you're a true believer in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So a life of faith does not come, it does not begin by something so great within us, right? It begins when God reveals himself to us. And that life of faith requires something from us, though, right? It requires a response. To live a life of faith, it demands a response from us regarding that calling. So again, look at Abraham's simple response. What did he do? He obeyed. He got up and went. He didn't have a clear plan. I'm sure this decision cost him a lot because he was leaving his family, but he simply obeyed. Again, in verse 8 it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance." So faith and obedience go hand in hand. If you have faith, you will obey. So how do we respond when we have a clear call from God? Do we simply obey? That's the question before us today. So it wasn't like this great spiritual thing that we decided to move to Cleveland, but we did. We moved to Cleveland. Again, it wasn't a huge spiritual decision. There wasn't a spiritual decision behind it. It was a job for my wife, okay? But we do look back on that as one of the most significant decisions we ever made in our lives spiritually because of what happened after that. Point two, faith believing God's promise. The call to faith needs to be followed by a life of faith. Hebrews 11, the second part of verse 8, "And he went out not knowing where he was going." Now you and I both know that it's not easy to obey, especially when the outcome is not clear. It's very, very difficult. But knowing our God and his goodness will certainly help us obey. We can trust in him. I'm sure that Abraham had many people question his decision, right? You're doing what? You're going to a place you don't know where it is yet? Just take off. We may get questions about our walk of faith. Why are you giving up the pleasures of this world to follow Christ? Why are you giving up things in your time to serve him? In fact, consider what life was like for Abraham. In verse 9, it says, "By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents." Great. "Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." So this is the land of promise? Living in tents? Oh, joy. It doesn't yet belong to him, this land. It's inhabited by the Canaanites who did not know the Lord. So he lived there as in a foreign land. There were difficulties. And this reminds us of the tension of God's promises. It's that already but not yet life of faith that we live. As believers, we possess God's promises, right? We possess all of God's promises, but some promises have just not been consummated yet in our lives. We know they will be, so it's that they're already given to us, but they just haven't happened yet. So this is that tension. So Abraham living in tents is a picture of the fact that he was a foreigner, not a citizen in that land. And isn't that like us too in our life of faith? Aren't we living in the earth, but it's not really our home? Our citizenship is in heaven. We are traveling through this place with a job to do, and that's to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? Oh, how we will enjoy him when we are with him in heaven in our real home. And if I don't think about those things, I can become really discontent easily when I want this world to be my home. I need to be more heavenly minded. We need to look to God for our pleasure, take in his beauty, truth, and goodness, and be careful that the world doesn't replace him. So Abraham was not immediately given the inheritance of that land, but God promised him that he and his descendants would possess that land, despite the fact that Abraham had no children. He's old. Wow, what's going on here? This is crazy. Again, that already, not yet. The promise is yours, Abraham, You will see it in the future. I'm sure it took some perseverance for Abraham to wait for that promise to be fulfilled, which is also indicative of the life of faith for us. But believing God's promise helped Abraham to persevere. So when we moved to Cleveland, I felt like a foreigner, definitely. I was a Hawkeye in Buckeye country. The Eastern time zone meant that Monday Night Football lasted past midnight. That was crazy to me. Like, what's going on here? Why am I here? How did this happen, right? Bobette had her job in Cleveland, but I felt like a definite foreigner because that first year I was going to Cleveland State full-time for my master's, and I was teaching Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 at the Hebrew Academy of Cleveland to Orthodox Jewish females. After teaching at a very small school in Iowa, rural school, we had 20 graduating seniors, and almost every day I walked in there, I said, how did we end up here? What is going on? I can't believe I'm teaching I'd never met an Orthodox Jewish person before, and here I'm teaching them. That year was not an easy one. I remember one time I was shooting hoops by myself at Denison Park, and suddenly I realized I was just sitting on the ground against the wall with the ball next to me, and I didn't know how I ended up there. And I was just worried about things, like, what are we doing here? My family's back there. I'm teaching. This is rough. Like, I realized, wow, I didn't even know I sat down. It was just encompassing my brain so much. Again, do what the Lord says and see what happens, and you don't always know right away, right? Third point, faith seeing a city. For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. How was Abraham able to live so heroically in such difficulties? He was looking forward. Abraham, while living in tents, looked forward to the city that has foundations, not built by those Canaanites, but with God being the designer and the builder. He could look forward to that because he knew the designer and the builder. He knew God himself, who he could trust. Do we live like that? When I was sitting against that wall, did I have thoughts of, but God, you're in control. You are in control. Do we have faith in God without having to know the future? Abraham certainly had that eternal perspective. He accepted his present circumstances in light of his future inheritance. John MacArthur wrote this, "The Christian is willing to forsake the present glory, comfort, and satisfaction of this present world for the future glory that is his in Christ." In contrast to the buy now, pay later attitude prevalent in the world, the Christian is actually willing to pay now and receive later. What makes Christians willing to make these sacrifices? It's hope. Hope based on faith that the future holds something far better than the present. Paul writes in Romans 8:18, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So faith allows us, it allows Christ to lead us and requires us to be obedient to that lead. Again, being on the downhill side of that hill, it's the side of life, is awesome in a lot of ways. So moving to Cleveland, not knowing what the future held, God brought me to this church where we grew. He gave me 31 years at Solon Middle School as a teacher, assistant principal, and principal. And now he has me working in a growing and vibrant Christian school. I never knew that stuff would happen. Had no clue. So he had faith seeing the city ahead of himself. All right, so I want to talk about two decisions just in the last 2.5 years that my wife and I had to make that I think is just simple obedience. And again, I don't share this because I'm special. I didn't want to do probably either of them when it comes down to it, okay? My flesh had no interest at first. But I wanted to share with you, you know, I mentioned my mother-in-law moved in with us, right? She was in Missouri. My father-in-law died about 4 years ago. She's by herself, and she said, "Are you guys okay with me living alone in, in Missouri. And I said, well, are you? That's the question. And I imagine since she brought it up, she probably had a feeling, right? Like, maybe I should be with you guys. And so we started looking for places. And, you know, we went from empty nesting to not empty nesting suddenly again. My friend calls it open nesting because you never know who's going to fly in the coop. Okay, so here comes Gwen from Missouri. And it simply was, you know, we need to take care of Gwen. She's a widow. We're her family. We need to take care of her. I mean, that's it. That's all. And it hasn't been easy. She's easy. I mean, if you know Gwen, I mean, she is like the most positive person I have ever met. Almost sickening. It's like...
can we quote?
Hopefully she doesn't watch this video later. You know, she is so easy. But, you know, we have to give up some things. You know, Bobette and I, we're used to being just the two of us. And now we're the three of us. And she has the basement. We've got upstairs. So there's a little separation there. But we see her a lot. So it's not exactly what we thought life was going to be at this age. And who knows? She could live 20 more years. She could live to be 120 and 106 years old. Who knows? She's healthy, right? So... who knows what the future holds in that, but we decided that we just needed to obey God in that, okay? The other one I want to delve into a little bit more, and that was my decision to leave Solon Middle School to go to a different place. And I was confronted with a choice between obeying God or doing what I wanted to do. I became more and more convicted that I should not work in public education anymore, okay? And I don't know, I don't need to go into why. You probably are aware of many of the reasons why. I think you have a good idea of what's going on. But my conviction was I was supposed to not only support some of these things at a public school, but I was the principal. I was supposed to champion these things. And at a certain point, I just said, would I obey God in doing what he's telling me to do through his word, that I should not be involved in this? And I decided that I needed to do that. It was not easy. I loved my job at Solon as principal. It's a great system. I mean, I love the people I worked with. I was there 31 years and had built things to this point and wanted to see it through, right? I figured I'll be there until I retire. I'll be done. And I announced my retirement from my job in Seoul and went into the superintendent and said, I need to do this. And of course, there's some people thought I was crazy, right? You've invested this much time. Why wouldn't you just continue with this? You're still pretty young. At that point in time, I had participated in a couple of interviews at Heritage Classical Academy, a Christian school here in the area. But it was kind of funny. In the last interview, I interviewed with one of the board members, and he asked me two questions that led me to believe for sure, I am not getting this job. There is no way. He asked me, have you ever been turned down for a job where you were clearly the most qualified? No. The other question was, there are some people that believe this job should be filled by a woman because all the other leaders are men. What would you say to them? I don't know. Okay, so you have a woman who is less qualified than me that you're going to hire, okay? So at that point, I really felt like I was a sojourner again, a man without a job. I just retired, and what's going to happen now, right? Well, they actually offered the job to both of us. So the other person that was interviewing, and I tied, I guess, for the job. Then they needed two people. The way the school has grown is just incredible. So I was very surprised to get offered the job, and I work there now. And for the last 15 years, I always was trying to figure out, what am I going to be when I grow up, right? In other words, when I retire, what will I do? And I wanted to do some type of ministry. I thought maybe with Bobette, you know, I'll settle down to some type of ministry. That'd be great, and live out the rest of my years. But here we go. This is what God had in mind for me at this point. And don't believe for a moment that I share this story because I think I did something fantastic or something like that. I share it because I decided to simply obey and leave Solon when I thought it was right to leave. And I believe God blessed me with this position at that point. So Now we're facing some more things at Heritage. We've grown so much and we've started a high school. We're looking for land. My job could change really drastically. Like, who knows what's going to happen at Heritage? But it's also very exciting. It's very exciting to be part of that. So here we go again. Not knowing what the future holds, will I obey God? That's the question before us. I don't know what the high school is going to be like. I don't know where it's going to be. Am I going to have to drive an hour? Who knows? But it's okay. All I know is, no matter the outcome, I want my prayer to be that the story goes something like this. Like Abraham, in faith, Scott obeyed. It's just a simple message that I'm trying to remember each and every day. Will I obey what I believe God is calling me to do? And that's the call of faith that we have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that we have your word to guide and direct us, to prick our hearts. I pray that no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, what stage of life we find ourselves in, that we would in faith obey you. It sounds simple enough, but it is one of the hardest things to do, especially when it comes to major life decisions. So I know that there are many people in this room that are facing things, facing decisions, facing circumstances. Help us to be obedient. Help us to live by faith. Help us to look forward to the glory it will be to be with you in heaven and to have all the promises in your word fulfilled in our lives. Let that help us to persevere, not our own strength. Help us to just trust in you, because that is what is required when we live by faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.